You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon, and we welcome and greet all of you no matter where you are. If you're on the computer, if you're listening on the radio, we just welcome you to our program. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And God gave us the name of this ministry, outreach ministry of Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, a long time ago. And we've called this program for years, Raising the Standard. Right, Pastor Donna?
Amen.
And that's what our purpose is to raise the standard in the body of Christ. We've got a lot of things that are being drifted away from the basic doctrines and things that we need to know in the Bible. And so we're here to do that with you the best of our ability as the Holy Ghost leads. And so we greet you and welcome you to this program. We're honored to be here with you. And as I usually say about every other week or so, that right now probably somebody, Pastor Don, is listening for the very first time to this program, and we've been on here 17 plus years. So enjoy what you hear, because we're going to give you the word, not a word necessarily, it might be, but we're talking about the word of God, the Holy Bible, and some things we want to talk about here today. And so we're honored to be here with you, and we give you all glory and honor, Lord, for what you're going to accomplish with all the people. Give them ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to them at this time, because we are in the last of the last days, whether a lot of people believe that or not, especially the world. They don't have no clue. But we, as a body of Christ, we should know that the time is ticking down, and we're to the conclusion of all this, and it's coming down very fast. And so we're going to talk about some things a little bit about this today. So Pastor Don's got a couple announcements to make here, and I'm going to turn it over to her and have ears to hear what she's going to say to you as well, in Jesus and Yeshua's name. Amen.
We are in the last days. Definitely we are. We're closer than we were yesterday, and it's getting closer. Time is short. You know, God said that this year is a time of rest, and also we have to be willing and ready to do what God's called us to do this year. You know,
right.
He may be called to do some things that may not be so easy, but God's going to give us the strength and the rest to be able to do whatever He has called us to do. Amen. Time is short. Well, I want to mention that we have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m., and we have Friday night services at 7 p.m., and also on Saturday, we have classes on Saturday. So if you're interested in any of those things, just give us a call. We'd be glad to send you information, a brochure or a calendar, and let you know about what's going on here in Stuart, Florida at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. Amen. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we're doing that's coming up, and I pray that you are praying about it and that you will call and be part of it. We're having our 14th annual Bible reading marathon starting next Wednesday.
Ooh.
On the 19th.
That's right.
19th of November, just a week before Thanksgiving.
A few days away. Right?
Amen. Starting at 7 p.m. in the evening. What we'll be doing is reading the entire Bible. This is our 14th year.
Hard
and you
to
know,
believe,
Pastor Gene, the more I think about it, I keep getting the number 15. Like, I don't know if we'll only do it one more year. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Time is short.
Yeah.
But this is the 14th year of reading entire through the entire Bible, from Genesis all the way to the very end of the Bible, the book of Revelation. So we need lots of readers, hundreds of readers to sign up. We already have quite a number of readers signed up. So maybe it's your first time. Maybe you've read all 13 years.
Yeah.
Some people have read all 13 years in the past. Right. This will be the 14th. But we need lots of people to read. What we do is we have a chart, and everyone is signed up to read for 15 minutes. You know, you can read your whole Bible in 90 hours. It takes 90 hours.
You can stay awake that long.
You can stay awake that long. It takes 90 hours. So we'll be reading from Genesis to the very end. It takes 90 hours, plus or minus a couple hours, depending on the speed of readers you have. So it takes that many hours to be able to read the entire Bible. And so what we do is we'll start Wednesday evening, and we will read 24/7 around the clock, part 5 days, Wednesday through Sunday, and till Sunday around noon. We'll finish about noon, and we'll read the entire Bible. And it takes hundreds of people to sign up for 15 minutes. So what we ask you to do is to take 15 minutes. Maybe you can read more than once.
That's right. And can you give God 15 minutes? Right.
Can you give God 15 minutes? And you ask you to come like 15 minutes early so you can be in prayer. We need a prayer and intercession.
Amen.
And read. And we're reading outside at the Bandshell in Stuart, Florida. We're facing Jerusalem. And you're going to be reading on at a pulpit and through a microphone. And I'll tell you, it goes several blocks. The
people
sound
hear
of your voice, the sound of you, the sound of hundreds of people speaking and declaring God's word, not preaching. But, you know, his word has preaching in it too, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But we're not ad-libbing. We're not adding anything to or taking anything from.
We are reading
the entire Bible. And you ask what Bible? The King James Version. We read that. And it's on the pulpit. And it's a large print. So no one should have any problems seeing it. And so we read the entire Bible. And it's a marathon. It's a marathon. And so I would just encourage you to, if you'd like to be part of it, you know, you can bring your family, you can bring your children. Anyone can read. You can bring your Bible study. Maybe you want to bring a neighbor. Maybe you're a witness to somebody and you want to bring somebody down, then they can come. You can come and just sit and listen. You can bring your lawn chair. There's some benches there. But you can bring a comfortable chair and just come down and just listen. The weather's going to be beautiful, I pray, God. And it always cools off when we do the Bible marathon. And it seems like it always rains and washes away the ground, doesn't it?
That's right.
Washes away every before the Bible marathon. But we will be setting up next Wednesday around noon. And we will start at 7 o'clock to be able to spend that time worshiping the Lord. And so we'll have some special people come from the city and from the counties that they will pray and speak up a word of prayer and perhaps start the reading off. And then we will start the marathon at 8 o'clock, and we will
start
continue.
Reading.
So yeah. I'm going to give the phone number. Please give us a call. We would love to have you come. Like I said, you can bring your friends, bring your neighbor, bring your children.
Your whole church.
Bring your church.
That's
amen.
Right.
Bring your Bible study.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Share it with your pastor.
Yes,
we have lots of postcards, and we can get them to you some way, somehow, if you'd like to have more information about it. So just give us a call. Our phone number here in Stuart is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
Thank you, Lord.
7007.
So call and sign up. And like Donna said, if you can read more than one time. We've got several people that read every single day. So they'll find an opening and they'll sign up and they'll come back and read again. So.
And we need people to read it at night. Some people, you know, I'm surprised we have so many people signed up at night. It's hard to get people to read at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3
That's
o'clock
right.
in the morning, 4
mm-hmm.
o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. But we need to cover every bit of the time. And if we all share, see, it makes the work lighter. And we're all the body of Christ, aren't we?
Amen.
Well, you are listening out there. You are a member of the body of Christ. And so this is a mandate. This is a mandate that the Lord has given us, this small church, Spirit of Prophecy. It's not a large church. We don't have a large congregation. But, you know, God can trust the least of us with a job to do, with a work to do for Him.
Amen.
He's looking for those who are willing and obedient to do what He has called them to do. And I'm just going to mention this, Pastor Gene, the reason we're doing this Bible reading marathon, and it's the first time it was ever done in Stuart, now it's been done 13 years, going on 14, is that after the towers came down in 2001, I got a prophetic word from the Lord one Sunday morning to read the Bible completely through. The Lord said it would be protection against terrorism for our nation.
Yes.
And so I believe that we're still in that place that we need protection.
Mm-hmm.
And God's hand is still wants to bless this nation. And we want to, He said, I think about in Genesis, you know, when Abraham said, if there be 50 righteous, if there be 40, and then it went all the way down to 10.
10, right.
Well, I believe there's more than 50 righteous people in
That's
America.
Right. That's
a
right.
lot more than 50.
A lot more.
So God is calling us to raise the standard and to do what He's called us to do. And God's Word is the standard that we live upon. And so as people even walk by or drive by and see those 12 flags out there and hear the Word of God, they're going to hear it from their car. That's why I'm saying we are... God has given us a voice, a trumpet. My husband blew the trumpet in our home today, the shofar. He's given us a voice, and we are supposed to, it's not just a trumpet or a you should get that trumpet and blow it, Pastor Gene. It's not just a trumpet, an instrument like they use in Israel or a shofar, but we are a trumpet. Each and every one of us have a voice, and we're to let our voice be heard. And so this is one way we can let our voice be heard, by speaking the Word of God in this city. And this is not just for Stuart. This, when those 12 flags that you will see flying as you drive by down Ocean, East Ocean Boulevard at the Bandshell in Stuart in the Memorial Park, it's a wonderful place to even have come and have a picnic in that park. Those 12 flags came out of three different counties. Three of them came out of Martin County, six of them came out of Palm Beach County, and the remaining three came out of, what's the name of the county north of us?
Indian River. St. Lucie County.
St. Lucie County.
You know, you got Indian River, I think, above that. Yeah.
St. Lucie County. So this is the Treasure Coast event, I would say. This is for protection against terrorism, and we certainly need that. I want you to blow that, Pastor Gene, because we need to awake the people. The Bible says we need to awake.
Awake, arise and shine, right?
Arise and shine. We need to awake the people. It says in Psalm 138, is it verse 2?
Uh-huh.
About God's word. I'm going to go over there and I'm going to read it.
Name.
He regards His word higher than His name. Go ahead and read that. Father God, thank You, Lord. He blew that for a long time today. It says here in Psalm 138, and we are worshiping. And the first year we did this, we did not have any idea what direction we were facing. We knew we were facing the water.
Yeah.
And my question was, when the Lord spoke to me and said it would be a breaker's anointing for protection for our nation, not just our county or the Treasure Coast, but for the nation, my question was to God, and do you ever ask God a question? Why are we facing the water? And so when I realized, a lady came over during the middle of the night one night, two blocks away, and she says, I'm hearing the word of the Bible being read.
She couldn't sleep, huh?
She couldn't sleep. So she came and she sat for like an hour and a half and just listened. She didn't even read. She just listened. And then the Lord spoke to me. He says, you see the breaker's anointing. When the breaker hits, it comes back over. So we were facing the ocean. And so as the word goes forth, we know it will not return void. But also, if it's a breaker's anointing, it will come back and cover the nation. So God's word is like a blanket. It's like a cover that's covering the nation, yet it's going forward. So then my next question was, Lord, what direction are we facing? And not really knowing why, but we had maps on the back of the wall. We had a map of the world, a map of the United States, a map of the county and our city.
And Florida.
And Florida. We had like four maps up there. And so we got a, we called somebody that early morning, and we said, I called Brother Lou, and I said, will you bring a compass over here? We got to find out where we are facing. What do you call it? You're going to draw a line from one place to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know what happened, what was going on in the world that time during in Afghanistan and all that. Well, when we drew the line, we found out exactly where we were facing, and we drew it from where we were at, right there on the map, on the world map, from Stuart, Florida, right there in this where we're at in Florida, and we drew the line according to that compass. It took us right through, right to Jerusalem. You know how small Jerusalem is? How small Israel is, I mean? Israel? And so we are doing like Daniel did. We're facing Jerusalem. Like when he prayed and he opened the window. And this is the year of the window. He opened the window. He was praying towards Jerusalem. Oh, my heart just beat because I thought, that's such a small place. And then we continued to draw the line straight on out. It took us right through the center of Afghanistan. And my heart dropped and I said, you know, we all looked and we just were speechless. How could this be? Only God. See, only God knows. And he sets the direction. He'll set the direction for our life, just like he set the direction for the Word of God to go forth. That wasn't really the place I wanted to do the reading from, but that's where God had us to do it. You know, when we're obedient to God's Word, what God speaks to us, like you said, this is his Word, but he also speaks to us a rhema word. He speaks to us
a living word,
a word of direction.
Thank you, Lord.
When you're obedient to the directions that God gives you, you know, then you're going to hit the mark. This was like shooting a target and hitting the mark, you know, hitting the mark, the word of God going towards Israel, towards Jerusalem, mm-hmm. and even on into Afghanistan. And so we continue to do this and we continue to believe that God is protecting us from terrorism. Amen.
Amen.
And so that's the reason we continue. It's a mandate. So it's not just a church, a thing or event. No, it's the body of Christ.
The church.
It's the church. And those of you who are listening, you are the church. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost.
If you're
born again, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And God says that we should be holy. So we are reading his holy word again this year. 90 continuous hours, hundreds of people coming down and reading, declaring God's word. And I'm going to tell you, many people are touched. Many people start crying. And the people, the hearers, those who walk by, those that are homeless, people are touched because God's word is going to touch somebody.
It's powerful.
Amen. I want to read this. It says here in Psalm 138, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Do you know one of the highest ways of praising God is reading his word?
And studying the word of God, right?
Reading his word.
Yeah.
Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. See, God is first. He has to be first before any other. There's a lot of gods in this
right.
world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be the god of money, mammon. But God has to be first. Verse 2 says, I will worship towards thy holy temple. Well, where was the holy temple? In Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. This is the truth we're going to be reading. The truth. The one and only. The truth. And then it says, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name.
Incredible.
Talking about his son.
And who's the word? It's Yeshua. That's
talking
right.
about his son. He is.
He's the
and
word.
And he spoke the word.
That's
he
right.
only said... He only spoke the things the Father told him, and he said that in the Bible. He says he only spoke, he only said and did the things the Father told him to say and told him to do.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing? We're only doing what God has called us to do. We're not preaching down there. We're not sharing. We're not laying hands on the sick. Not that that can't happen, maybe somewhere else. Not by the pulpit. That's only for reading. That's only for reading. Yes, people have been touched. People have been prayed for. They can be prayer groups off to the side. But this, the purpose of this is not to sell anything, give anything away. only speaking, teaching God's word.
That's it.
And God, you know, this is our teacher.
Amen.
This is the Holy, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost is going to bring conviction to people's hearts even as they listen and as they read. And, you know, some people say, well, I'm concerned, worried about reading some of these names. Well, you know what? Even if you mispronounce the name, God knows the name.
God knows the name.
I mean, I don't worry about it. I don't pronounce them all the right way. But God knows the name.
Sure
and
does.
So, you know, this is what we're doing. And we certainly do could use some help. And we certainly could use a lot of prayer. Because we know the enemy hates what we're going to be doing next week.
Yeah.
The enemy hates it. But we are blessed because we have favor. Because God gives us favor. When we do what God tells us to do, He gives us favor. We received the proclamation from the city this past week.
Yeah.
Commissioners this last week. And one of them is going to come down and open up and pray. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And so this coming Tuesday, we will receive a proclamation from Martin County.
The county commissioners.
And I'm praying. We've invited them to come down, one of them to come down and pray and bless it. See, it's a blessing. And if I had time, I'd read the proclamation, but we really don't have time. But it's God. It's all about God. It's all about His word. And if we don't seek first the kingdom of God, if we don't seek God first and be obedient to what He's called us to do, then we cannot expect the blessings of the Lord. And we cannot expect to have the peace and rest that He wants to give us. So we just praise the Lord for this opportunity, for the Bandshell here in Stuart. It's going to be a Martin Ocean Boulevard, downtown Stuart, and it will be there all those days. It doesn't matter if we pray it doesn't rain, but you know, it's rained before, and we continue to read, and the Word of God goes forth.
We're believing for good weather this year.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
We had a lot of rain last year.
Good weather, not too hot, not too cold. Lord, we just ask for wonderful, wonderful days of weather. And we're just blessed to do that. And then on Sunday afterwards, we will have a Thanksgiving celebration at First Baptist Church, which has invited us to come over there. And so anyone to come. They have a wonderful meal every year. And so with turkey and all the stuffings and everything that goes along with Thanksgiving. We're thankful. It's a time to be thankful. I believe that's why God told us to do it that week before Thanksgiving, because beginning that Sunday, the Sunday of the 23rd, begins National Bible Week. National Bible Reading Week. And the commissioners from both the city and the county and everyone, every church should declare National Bible Reading Week, and people need to get back into their Bibles and start reading, and God will bless us as we do that. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
That's right. So be a part of it. We were going to talk about
the
Shemitah a little bit. We only have about 35 minutes left, but we can talk about a few things. And we see so much in the Bible. And I was thinking this morning when I got up that I was wanting to find out where it's first mentioned in the Bible about the Shemitah. Now, we know the Shemitah is a year of rest. And
rest.
By the way, if people don't know that, we're in the Shemitah year right now, 5775 on the Jewish
calendar. This is a year of rest.
This is the year, and it'll end on Elul 29 of next year. So who knows what's going to happen, okay? And so this is the seventh year of this, but
interesting, it's a year of rest.
That's right.
And we kind of felt that a lot of people are going to be bringing those little tiny tents down there, all over the ground there, and just maybe just laying in them and sleeping and resting as the Word of God goes forth. Wouldn't that be awesome, Pastor?
Whatever they want to do, yeah.
Whatever, amen. Yeah.
So I'm going to take you over to Leviticus chapter 25.
25.
And this is where it's first mentioned when God was laying down His commandments and statutes for Israel to obey. Chapter 25, verse 1 says this, "And the Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord." Now listen to this. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year, remember we're in this year right now with Israel. And a lot of people in Israel are going to honor this, we understand, this year about not growing any crops or leaving the ground fallow and all. So he says, "But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land." We're in this right now with Israel. "A Sabbath for the Lord, thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap.
neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed, for it is a year of rest unto the land. And the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, and for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. So he says, you need to rest the land. And he meant that. Now we go into chapter 26. Excuse me.
And we're in a Sabbath year.
We're in a Sabbath year right now.
So that means that we have rest.
That's
we
right.
We should have rest.
Should
God wants
rest.
To give
that's
us
right.
rest.
So before I read this, I might just throw this out here with him. We're going to read this a little bit. You know, a lot of people think maybe that Yeshua could come back, especially when we're thinking about the understanding of Judaism, that he might come back this 2015 on Tishri 1, okay?
We're not saying he's going to.
But I personally believe we've got, from my study, I think we've got a little bit further to go. But what about the next seven-year period? This is the key thing. It'll take us out to about 2022 in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And we know the Jewish people have their new year before we have ours on our solar calendar. They're on a lunar calendar.
And we try to follow that year.
That's right.
Because now we're going, we know the year is 5775. And
that's
you
right.
know, and so we can't have time to share what it means, but you know, you need to find out what it means,
yeah.
because it is a year of rest.
It's a year of rest.
Yeshua, and you know, that when we're caught away, we're going to be in rest for 7 years.
That's right.
And so, why wouldn't he start it at the
on,
at the,
on a Shemitah?
At a Shemitah, right?
At the
right.
end of a Shemitah year.
That's right. He takes us into the next one, which would be 8, which is the new beginnings, which
right.
could be the catching away to heaven. That's why I thought. You know, we may not have another Bible marathon.
Who knows?
We may have one more. I don't know. God
we'll
hasn't
see.
Spoken to
yeah.
us about it. But we're at this time now, and we need to take advantage of this rest that God's
right.
given us.
So if anybody's read Jonathan Cahn's book about the mystery of the Shemitah, there's a lot of things been revealed in there. And he, you know, he talked about even, it's a year. The word Shemitah means it's a time of rest.
Mm-hmm.
All the debts were released.
Right.
Servants were released. And it's even a term that means to collapse. And
mm-hmm.
if we look at our history, even in our country, in 2001, what happened?
It collapsed.
The Wall Street collapsed. It did the same thing again, what? In 2008. Did the same thing in 2012. And it kept getting worse. And so we're coming up on
what's
another...
What's going to happen what's at going the end to happen? Of this
yeah,
year?
Yeah, 2015. We got these blood moons. We got these solar eclipses that are going to be... We got all these signs that are out here that God's wanting us to look at.
That's right. All these different signs he's
right.
showing us.
And so I thought about this. I believe with all my heart, as we talk on the radio, that we're going to be in heaven for 7 years. And I believe that on one year, we don't know what year it'll be, that there'll be a resurrection and we'll be caught off this earth. So think about it. If it's on Tishri... It more likely will happen on the end of a Shemitah year. Wouldn't that be incredible? Because Elul 29 comes the next day is what? Tishri 1.
That's right.
And you know, they honor trumpets one of 2 days. And so it's incredible when we think about the timing of this. And so Jonathan went through a lot of things and showed how even World War II and all, like, you know, started in 1938, basically with Hitler, and it concluded in what? In 1945, which was exactly 7 years. And all these things, and we see how they fit in with history and all that. And so God's doing things by showing us this that we might understand what he wants. And see, he put this in place not only for the Jewish people, but we as believers, we should honor everything that God has in his word. So let's go to 26 now, chapter 26.
And you know, while you're going there, I just want to say, rest doesn't mean you don't do anything.
That's right.
You know, he's talking about resting in him. That's what
right.
we do on Friday. We have Shabbat. That's what the seventh day is for. It's for rest.
Rest.
So that we'll have the strength to do what God's called us to do the rest of the week. So if you're thinking, oh, I'm not going to do anything all year. No, that's not what it means. It means to get spiritual rest, to get spiritually filled up. So you'll
Amen.
Have that strength and that energy to propel you to go into all the things that God's called us to do. Because he has a lot of work for us to do this year. But without that spiritual, without that rest, that's why we have Shabbat on Friday night. So without that rest, you know, we're going to run ourselves ragged, and we won't have the strength to do
That's
what
right.
God's called us to do.
That's right. But I think about if we were caught off in one of those years, on Tishri 1, and remember the day before it was Elul 29. Mm-hmm. Well, think about that. You know, wouldn't it be interesting that God would have us leave this earth on the beginning of another seven-year cycle, and the seventh year would be a Shemitah year, which would be what? At the end of Jacob's trouble. Wouldn't that be incredible? Mm-hmm. And it could very possibly be in that arena, okay, the way God wants us to understand this. And so it is a time, when we're in heaven for 7 years, let me tell you, we're going to have rest like never before. So anyway, there's a lot of things we can look at with this, but I want to show the foundations of this and why Israel got in trouble. And if we're part of Israel now, so we need to honor this, and if we do, we're going to be blessed as well, as much as we possibly can if we obey God's word. So we go to Leviticus chapter 26, and I want to read some verses here for you. Verse 1 says this: Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up an image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. So that standing image is like a pillar, huh? Ye shall keep my Sabbaths, verse 2, and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them. Now listen to this. Then I will give you rain in due season. Hear this. And the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. You and I, if we obey God, we're going to yield the things out of our lives that God wants us to do, because we're going to obey His word in everything that we do. But this is talking about a natural thing here, we know. But there's also a spiritual aspect with all this. Now, verse 5, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land. Listen to this, safely. This is key. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid evil beast out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. And ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. If you read some of the other Jewish literature, I'm thinking about the book of Jasher we got a hold of. They found it years ago. And it shows you all the battles that the Jewish people had when they went into the promised land with the Amorites and the Canaanites and all those things they had to deal with. Well, there were giants in the land, and they won, huge battles with a handful of men against huge numbers of giants and all that. And the scripture right here tells them that if they'll obey this, in verse 8, I'll read it again. And he says, 5 of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. They won those battles because God was on their side. And the reason he was because at that time they were obeying what God said. Now, verse 9, I will have respect unto you, I'll say it in a minute, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. And you shall eat old store, it means old food, and bring forth the old because of the new. And I will set my tabernacle among you, which we know he did, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. I am the Lord your God, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their bondmen, and I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you go upright. Now listen to this. This is what he said the promise would be if they obeyed. But now listen to what he says if they don't obey. And this is why Israel's had all their problems through the years, okay? Verse 14. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, break my covenant. We cannot break his covenant. This is what he was warning Israel. I'm going to read verse 15 again. If you shall despise my statutes, or your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant. Now, verse 16, he's going to mention through all this, there's going to be 6 judgments that's going to come upon the land, and it's come to pass in history. Verse 16, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague, that means a fever, that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies what shall eat it. Whatever they sow, the enemies are going to eat this. So this is where they're going to be in time of distress. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies, but they that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. This is incredible. And if ye will not yet for all this hearken not unto me, then I will punish you, what? 7 times more for your sins. God's going to mention this 4 times in this chapter. 7 times more I'm going to punish you because of your sins. Now verse 19, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. There's going to be a drought come. This is the second judgment. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. Verse 21 now. And if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, God says, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Here's the second times it's mentioned, okay? Now, verse 22. And I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highways shall be desolate. Glory be to God. And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then I will also walk contrary unto you, and I will punish you yet, what, seven times for your sins. So these beasts and also the third plague that would come. Now verse 25, we're going to talk about the fourth. And I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. See, they quarrel with God. They argue with God about his covenant. Well, did you really say that? Do you really want us to do that? See, they quarrel with God. We have people today that quarrel with the word of God because we have all these different translations. Well, did it really mean that, or does it really say that? This quarrel is going on even today. People quarrel over God's government also, and his covenant. So we have to keep this in mind. He said, I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. He makes a covenant and he doesn't break his covenant. He doesn't want us to break covenants. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. So disease and pestilence. What do we got right now? We're worried about Ebola and all in this country, okay? This is the fourth plague. Now 26. And when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. And if you will not, for all this, hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury, he says. And I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins. Here it's mentioned again. Verse 29, and you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. This was the fifth plague. This was a famine that came. What happened with the Babylonians? The city was besieged and nobody went in or out. No food or water went in. What happened? It got to the point where they were killing their own children and eating their children. That's how bad it was. That's how bad the famine was. So this is the fifth thing that God said is going to happen if they don't obey. And it did happen. Verse 30, and I will destroy your high places. You know, this is places of false worship. And cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcass of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you. And I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. And I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors from their sacrifices and all that he's talking about. Verse 32, I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. We've talked a lot about Mark Twain. He was there back in the 1800s. He looked at the land of Israel. He said, what in the world could ever come out of this place? It was dry, no trees. It was incredible. And this is exactly what he did. Verse 32, he said, I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. But we know God is restoring all that now. Amen. When they became a nation in 1948 and all that. But this went on for hundreds of years that they disobeyed God. 33 now. Verse 33. And I will scatter you among the heathen. This is the sixth plague. They were scattered all over the world because they disobeyed God. And will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Now, most of you that's been around Pastor Don and I, we've talked about this a little bit. The only reason that Israel has the land that they have, and it's not all that God's promised them, is because God made an unconditional covenant. We just talked about covenant. You know, we can't quarrel with God's covenant. He made an unconditional covenant with Abraham over there in Genesis chapter 15 when his name was Abram. That he was going to have all of his four as he could see with his eyes on. He was going to have a posterity was going to come out of his loins like the stars of heaven, the sands of the sea. Amen. And all that. And so that was an unconditional promise. But the reason they got scattered here, we just read in verse 33, is because what? They disobeyed God. And so what happened? He scattered them all over the world. Even Jesus talked about that in the Gospels. Now let's go on here now. Verse 32, 34. I'm going to read 33 again. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. And they were out of the land for hundreds and hundreds of years. Verse 34, then shall the land, why? He says, then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths. Amen. Her Sabbaths, her Shemitah year. They had not done that. As long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths, because they won't be there. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it. And so the Shemitah, the season is what, it's 7 years long, and the Shemitah is the seventh year. So this is telling us that 70 times the Jewish people did not honor the Shemitah of the land. And so you take 7 years times 70 times, that's 490 years that they disobeyed God. And this was the years that God used in Daniel chapter 9 to show us about the 70 weeks prophecy and all that. And so here we see this, because they disobeyed. Now,
God expects
that's
rest.
Right.
Rest of the land,
that's right.
Rest of his people.
Right. Let me finish reading this now. Mm. Verse 36 says, and
yes.
Upon them that are left alive of you, I will send a faintness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaken leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when none pursueth. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, when none pursueth, and you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. And you shall perish among the heathen, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. This is what happened with the Babylonian Empire. What happened to them?
Right.
And they that are left of you shall pine away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands, and also in the iniquities of their fathers shall they pine away with them. Now, verse 4, this is key. If they shall confess their iniquities.
Yes, that's important.
And the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them into the land of their enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be what? Humbled, and they
yes.
then accept of the punishment of their iniquity. See, God's not looking for a physical circumcision. He's looking for a circumcision of the
heart.
Verse 42, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob. Hear this? Mm-hmm. I will remember my covenant with Jacob. Now, it's interesting. He mentions that his covenant with Jacob. I would have thought it would have been Abraham first, but look at this. He does it in reverse order. Then I will remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham. Will I remember, and I will remember the land. So I would have thought he would have said Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but he did it the other way around, didn't he? To emphasize this,
well,
I guess, a new way.
He's making it clear
that's
that
right.
he doesn't forget
that's
the
right.
past
that's
as
right.
well as the future.
Absolutely.
Because those people could be living in the future or in the present.
That's right.
But he's saying, you know, I haven't forgotten about Isaac. I haven't forgotten about his father, Abraham. You know, he's a God that remembers every single thing.
He never forgets one thing.
He never forgets anything.
That's right.
And he always keeps his promises, his word.
That's right. Verse 43 then says, the land also shall be left in them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths.
That's right.
And it was all those years.
All those
while
years.
While she lieth desolate without them, and they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because even because they despise my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. When I read this the other day, he keeps talking about iniquities. That's the worst sin, and we have sin, transgression, iniquity. Iniquity is the worst one. It's when you twist the word of God, you pervert it to suit what you're wanting to do. This is what the Israelites did in that
and
day.
And you know, there's people today that are trying, they want to do the same thing, because
right.
they want to fulfill the lust of their flesh.
That's right.
And so what do? They try to figure out another way that the word is talking about, instead of trying to just take it for
what it says.
That's
right.
And we have discussions with that with people all the time. Well, couldn't it mean this, or couldn't it mean that, or somebody preached this, or somebody preached that? You know, God, we need to go right back to his word, you know, and read what his word says.
And don't question it.
Don't question it. If he said it, you know, believe it, and just go forth with your life and be holy.
Sure.
Bible says that we are to be holy. Be
That's
holy.
Right. Now, these last three verses are very important. Listen
yes.
to this now. Verse 44. And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away. See, he's promised to bring them back.
Promise.
Neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, and to break, here we go, break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God. God is not a covenant-breaking God. Aren't we glad? But I will for their sakes
remember
the covenant, hear this, of their ancestors, whom I brought forth out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the heathen, that I might be their God, and I am what?
The Lord. Now this right here,
Pastor
Gene, really kind of explains what you mentioned before about the names being in reverse.
That's right.
He says, I will, the covenant of their ancestors.
That's it.
See, covenant of their ancestors. And so when God makes a covenant, you know, the only change of a covenant was Yeshua.
Mm-hmm.
And so but that didn't actually destroy this covenant. No, he just fulfilled the covenant that God had, the plan that God had for the Jewish people and for everyone.
That's right.
It's incredible.
It's a covenant. A covenant is a strong, very strong word, and people throw it around. You know, you don't break a marriage covenant, do you?
A lot of people do.
But look at all the Christians that have broken marriage covenants. A marriage covenant is
unbreakable by God. That's what it says.
That's right.
It says you should not break it. You see, God hates divorce.
God hates
divorce. But it's done all the time. So what have we done? We've changed God's word to think, well, okay if we do this, and God will be okay with that.
And you don't fall out of love someone.
Nope.
Love is a choice. Love is a choice. And so you choose to love. You choose to love.
That's
we
right.
have to choose to love. We have to have the love of God. See, if we don't have the love of the pure love of God, we can't love our husband or our neighbor or anybody. We can't love. We can't love the way God wants us to love. There's only one way to love, and that's to have the God kind of love, the agape love, the love that will last forever. And even though somebody may do something wrong, there's still, you have to come back to God let God do the healing and bring back the restoration. Because God is a God of restoration.
So when you think about Israel, you know, they broke all those commandments. God was very angry. He was upset with them. That's why he put them in captivity. But he never threw them off and totally divorced them. He left them for quite a while. We know that.
He never divorced them.
But he never left them. They were called his wife, okay? And so we have to keep that in mind ourselves. And so if we marry the wrong person because we didn't ask God who to marry, okay, what do we do? You've made a covenant. If you got married in a church, especially you took vows, you've made a covenant before God. Well, God's not a covenant-breaking God. And so we have to honor that. And we can change our heart and move another way. And hopefully can restore some things in marriages that are broken over things that are not. So we have certain rules in the Bible that's acceptable to have a divorce, but we can't do it because we're incompatible. That's not an option at all.
Or we just think we've just fallen out of love. Or
that's
we've
right.
got some infatuation for somebody else.
Can't
see,
do
our
it.
Eyes have wandered some off somewhere
that's
else.
Right.
So, no. But there are certain reasons for a divorce, but not for all the reasons that people are getting divorces for now.
Think about all the Israelites. They divorced God.
They did.
When they got into all this, they divorced God. They walked away from God. We have people today in the body of Christ that got upset with God over something, a death in the family, a loss of a job or a friend or whatever. And what do? They just kind of walk away from God and they become backslidden. This is what Israel was so backslidden. It was unbelievable, wasn't it? So we can have the same thing happen today. We got to press in. And stay with God no matter what it looks like. He's faithful and just to take care of us, and we'll just realize it. And remember, he's a ready help in time of need if we'll just understand that. And so this is what this is all about. So they broke the covenant with God. Now verse 46 says, this is the last verse in chapter 26. These are the statutes and judgments and the laws. Hear this?
Mm-hmm.
Which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. So this was all given and handed down to Moses, and it's all written down for you and I for our admonition. So, you know, somebody will say, well, we're not under that anymore, Pastor Gene. We're the Torah, we have no need for that. We're not under law anymore. But I'll tell you, there's truth in this. There's principles here that God expects us to keep in our hearts. Now, we don't do a lot of ceremonial things they did with sacrifices and all that, but there's a heart. I'm going to read this again right down here in verse 41. And that I also have walked contrary unto them and have brought them into the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be what?
Humbled.
And they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity. See what he says? So they have to have a humbled heart and come back and say, I've messed up. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're faithful and just to do those things. And we know that you're a loving God, and you'll reach out and touch people, you know, no matter how far they fall away. If they have a broken heart over this and they come back to you and ask you to forgive them and to go on with you, you'll accept that, and they'll be put back in the place, in the right place, in the kingdom of God, and they can go on and serve you and
Amen.
Accomplish much with you, because you are a God of new beginnings, and there's lots of new beginnings in a lot of people's lives over the years. But see, we need to make a covenant with him, a promise. And so when we don't do that and then we break it, well, that's not good in God's eyes. And so if we want to be blessed with God, if we obey, listen to what he's got to say, and serve him, he's faithful and just. And it says in Isaiah that we're going to eat the good of the land. We're going to have the fat of the land. And so that's what God wants us to know with all this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the Shemitah is all about. They had to obey
right.
what? This for 7 years. Well, that must have been maybe hard to do. But they had to say, okay, God, you said to do this. We're going to do it.
Well, they didn't do it. And so they got into a lot of trouble. Think about it. For 490 years, they disobeyed God and did not honor the Sabbath of the land. It's incredible. So then what happened? It's like a big bomb came down. Boom, he brought judgment upon them. He allowed the Babylonians overrun them, and they went. They lived in hell for what? For 70 years because they disobeyed God. It's incredible. We read this. They were eating their children to stay alive. All these pestilences that came. Six things that came in their lives because they disobeyed God. So you know what I think about myself? And you should listen to that and think about it yourself. If there's anything that you've done that's contrary to God's word, we need to make quick work. Get it taken care of right away. Have a broken and contrite heart. Put it under the blood with Jesus. And he's faithful and just to forgive you. Mm-hmm. And don't let it linger around and turn into some kind of a cancer or anything. But you need to do it right away. Right away so it does not hinder your walk with God. Because we've all sinned and missed the glory of God. We know that. But praise God, I hope that we don't know the word of God and we just deliberately, he's got words in here. He says there's transgressions in the Bible that we just don't transgress the word of God knowing what it says and mm-hmm. we do something anyhow. Well, Israel, he used the word iniquity with them, which is even worse. It's a word that means to pervert, to twist. It's a worse sin. And so that's what they did. But it took all those years, 70 years, and when they came out, then they finally got out of all their idolatry and the stuff that they were doing, and things began to change. But they still went through a lot
because
I was established in the beginning, right, Pastor?
Yes.
So the Shemitah is very important.
It is very important.
And we're in that year right now,
this
the last year.
This is the year of
it.
The Shemitah.
Yeah.
Right now, this is the year.
Right, I said, it's not the last year. We just went through the last year. We're going into the new Shemitah now. Right?
I
said it right the first time. I'm thinking about saying.
Okay, thank you, Pastor.
We'll get it straight.
Keith.
This is the Shemitah year. This is the seventh year of the seven-year cycle. Amen. It'll end on Elul 29 of 2015. So we're getting real close. What could happen this year?
Thank you, Lord. We don't know, but things could happen.
That's right.
What I'm excited, though, what it says here about in verse 45, and which really clarify, 42 and 45 really go together.
Right.
But I will, for their sakes, remember the covenant of their ancestors. I think about now, I knew my grandmother, but I didn't know my great-grandmother or my great-great-grandmother or great-great-grandmother. Mm-hmm. But if they were walking with the Lord and they had a covenant, see, they made a covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And God remembers his promises even to them because that they were born again. They're still alive. They're not dead. Their body's in the grave,
but
their soul and their spirit is with the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And so they may even be able to see their great-great-great-grandchildren, and they might say, God's made a covenant with me. See, if you stand on God's word and you believe what he says, then those are my ancestors, right? If God's made a covenant with, say, a great-great-great-great-grandmother somewhere I have never even met, which I'll see someday, then that means he has kept his covenant with my ancestors. And here now I am, who maybe didn't even know much about the Lord or never was brought up. My parents, maybe they never did anything biblical with me, but I had a great-great-grandmother somewhere back there.
That's
you
right,
know,
they did.
Who did. And so this covenant, God has not broken because he made a promise to her or to him or whoever it would be. And so because they're my ancestors. That's just exciting to know that, you know, God does not, when he makes a covenant with somebody, it doesn't matter if they're going to be maybe the 10th generation down. You know, the Bible talks about sometimes when things go down to the 10th generation.
That's right.
God doesn't break a covenant that he's made with somebody, a holy covenant, the truth, the Bible, a Bible covenant with people. He keeps it and God doesn't forget it. God remembers everything.
I'm reminded of what Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 about the things that God's told us to do and all that. He says, these are the commandments of the Lord. Well, if those are the commandments of the Lord, that means he's made a covenant. So we got the church saying, well, God's not doing this today. You know, he can't speak
in tongue.
He can't speak in tongue. The sick are not being healed. We can't do all these things.
But they are.
Because God does not break a covenant. He does not give you something and take it away. That means he'd be a covenant breaker.
And everything that Jesus did, experienced on the, everything that he did on the cross was a covenant that we might have healing, deliverance.
That's right.
Everything, all the promises. I want to go over here as we get ready to close over here to it in Second Chronicles in chapter 7.
Okay.
Because you talked about this repenting, you know, there, and you talked about punishment. See, they had to accept their punishment.
That's right.
Because they have their iniquity. And so many times we have to accept punishments too because of what we've done.
And even some of them repented, they still had to have that. There was a retribution to what they did because they had to pay the consequences.
And it says over here in verse 14, it says, Now, you can just sit there and meditate on if.
Yeah, if.
If I do this, if I don't do this. See, but he says, if my people. Now you got to think about, am I his first people?
That's right.
Do I belong to the king? Am I in the kingdom of God or am I not? If my people. And he's not just talking about Jewish people here. He's talking about God's people. Are you part of the church? Are you part of the body of Christ, the called out ones? If my people, Jew and Gentile, he's talking about anyone who would come to the Lord, come to Christ, which are called by my name. What name do you call upon? Is it the name? It has to be the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings.
Yod
Hey
Vav
Hey. My name,
yeah.
Yod Hey Vav Hey, shall humble themselves. See, it takes humility. We have to die to ourselves.
That's right.
And pray. Mm-hmm. We have to pray. And seek my face.
Not his hand, but his face.
Seek God's face. And turn from their wicked ways. All this has to come before.
That's right.
What I'm going to read now.
That's it.
Then.
Then, yeah.
Will I hear
after
from heaven.
After all this, yeah.
And I could just put in, then will I forgive their sin.
That's right.
And then will I heal their land.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 15. Now mine eyes shall be open. God sees everything.
Sure does.
And my ears, his ears, he hears everything. Attend unto the prayer. What prayer? The prayer that's made in this place. You're the temple of God. I'm the temple of God. God hears our prayer.
That's right.
And sees us.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
So there's it. Here we have verse 14.
If.
This is the if.
That's right.
If. And you can break that down. Break that down, sort of like I broke it down.
This is what America needs to do. Yeah.
Do you belong to the Lord?
Right.
Have you died to self?
See, we talk about revival all the time, and I've felt this way for years, and the Bible reveals it. There'll be no revival until what? Till there's repentance first. So we got to repent first, and then God can bring a revival.
And seek his face.
That's right. So here we are. We're in this last year of the Schmidt is coming up, and when Lule 29 of next year will be the end of that 7-year cycle again. It's incredible. And then we start all over again.
This is the year of the Schmidt.
So we'll see.
Year of rest.
They've had these Wall Street crises these last three Shemitahs in a row. What's going to happen this coming year? We don't know. So we have to pray.
Thank you, Father. Well, this is Pastor Gina Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on this radio program every Saturday, God willing. And we're also on the internet. You can go and listen to this broadcast again. If you like, go to WCNO.com and just look on Saturday and look for Raising the Standard, Pastor Gene Hilton, and you can listen to this and other programs that we have done in the past. So we are having the Bible Reading Marathon. If you didn't hear the beginning of the program, we need lots of readers. We need hundreds of readers to call right now and to get your name on the board so that you can be part of this Bible Reading Marathon.
You'll be blessed.
14th Annual Bible Reading Marathon, declaring the Word of God in Martin County and this Treasure Coast. Gold Coast,
all the coast,
and for Florida. So call. We'd like to have you come and read. A phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
Amen. So come and visit us one time. Our services are on Sunday morning. I shouldn't call it a service. It's a meeting at 10 o'clock. And
there are services.
And we have a Sabbath service on Friday night. So you can come and visit. And
amen.
I know you'll be touched with the things of God. So we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise for it, Father God. And so as we close the program, we tell everyone to look up because your redemption draws nigh. And what do you say, Pastor God?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.